गणितं फलं सुखमुखादं ऋतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलम् सुखमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतम् पिबत भागवतं रसमालयम् मुहुरहो रसिका भुवि भावुकाः So this is the third verse. It says, Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Nigama means all these Vedic literatures, scriptures. Kalpataror means all the Vedic literatures are considered desire tree. Galitam phalam. Galitam phalam means ripened fruit of the tree, desire tree of Vedic literatures. So, it's already a desire tree. Desire tree is exciting. You go to any tree, you go to mango tree, it will give mango only. That too at certain season only. That too to get a very tasty mango from a tree, it's very rare. Within a year, how many times you may get it? But when you go to desire tree, whatever desire you may have, you can get from that tree. Right? It need not be mango tree. You go ask any fruit. Apple also, you ask, it will give. You ask laptop also, it will give. Yeah, sound system, it will give. Whatever you want, the desire tree will give. So, generally, the essence of the tree is a fruit. And if that fruit is ripened, that's the ultimate purpose of approaching the tree. So, nigama kalpataror galitam phalam means Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. So, this is already sweet. First, it is desire tree. Second, is that it is ripened fruit. And the taste of this fruit has been increased because this Bhagavatam is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. Sukha Mukhad Amrita Drava Samyutam. When the sound vibration of Bhagavatam is being emanated from the lotus lips of Sukadeva Goswami, it has become like Amrita Drava. Fruit, you may have to bite to eat it. You may have to chew, right? If it is not very ripe. Even if it is ripe also, very ripe mango if you take, you have to take the peel out, you have to take the seed out, and inside that you can just, whatever pulp is there, you can take. But this fruit doesn't have the pulp, doesn't have the seed. It doesn't have the objectionable parts of the peel or seed. It's directly the semi-solid. Bhagavatam is directly the semi-solid, almost liquid fruit. Right? You can directly drink it. Pipata means drink it. And when a fruit is bitten by the beak of parrot, its flavor will increase. So, sukamukhad amrita drava samyutam. This already ripened sweet nectarian fruit has become all the more nectarian because Sukadeva Goswami has spoken it. It's coming from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Sukamukhad amrita drava samyutam. Pibata, so drink it. So, pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. So, samyutam means it's perfect in all respects. So, you just have to drink this nectar. Vibhata Bhagavatam. Rasamalayam. Rasamalayam is very important. So, rasam is relishable juice. So, this word alayam is very significant and special. It has multiple meanings. But I think we'll come to that little later. I'll just discuss the surficial meaning and then good into depth. Muhura ho rasika bhuvibhavukaha. You should drink this nectar of Bhagavatam. Muhur means constantly, regularly, every day. Nityam Bhagavata sevaya, not once in a while. Pibata Bhagavatam rasamalayam muhura ho. Rasika, oh expert relishers of rasa. Bhuvibhavukaha, oh thoughtful men. So you all should drink this nectar of Bhagavatam regularly. That's the meaning. Now, when you say Nigama Kalpatar or Galitam Phalam, what are we doing actually? What is our process? Bhakti. And within Bhakti also we are doing Sadhana, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti. Our Bhakti is in practice, not perfect Bhakti. So within that practice also there are two sections, Vaidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Is it not? Vaidhi is scriptural injunctions and spiritual master's instructions, and by following certain rules and regulations, right? You don't have a spontaneous affection for it, but you know it's beneficial for you, you do it. But when it is when it comes to Raganuga, yeah, following the footsteps of perfected devotees, Ragatmika Bhaktas, and trying to imbibe their mood, and you already have developed a natural, spontaneous attraction towards performing the devotional service. It's no more like an obligation or it's not on a dutiful platform. So you have started relishing it. That is Raganuga Bhakti. So Galitam Phalam means ripened fruit. When a green mango, now it is January, you can only see the flowering of our mango trees around you. You come in February, March, you will see mangoes, actual mangoes, which are green. But they will become little yellowish after some time. So mango is mango, whether it is ripe or unripe. Your Vaidhi Bhakti is like an unripe mango. But when you come to Raganuga Bhakti, it becomes ripe. So that is Galitam Phalam, ripened fruit of Vedic literatures. So that Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, which is following after the sentiments of gopis, even Vedas also followed the sentiments of gopis. So amongst the gopis, there are so many categories of gopis. One category is Shrutichari gopis. Shrutichari gopis means the Vedic literatures personified, they took the form of gopis, following in the footsteps of Vraja gopis, trying to imbibe their mood. They are called Shrutichari gopis. So that is Galitam Phalam. Nigama Kalpataru we discussed. Then Sukamukhad Amrita Drava Samyutam. So Sukamukhad means Sukadeva Goswami is speaking this. In the presence of Vyasadev, in the presence of Naradamani. Who is Vyasadev? His father and his guru. Who is Naradamani? His Paramaguru. Guru of his guru. So in their presence, Sukadeva Goswami is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he is speaking, it is appearing so nectarian. So nectarian that Vyasadeva and Naradamani were sitting in the audience and hearing Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami as if they are hearing it for the first time. So Sukadeva Goswami is so empowered by Srimad Bhagavatam that he can mesmerize his guru and paramguru also. He can inspire them also to hear. He can make them also like new listeners. So Vyasadeva was not feeling that, I only taught him all these things. He doesn't know. Right? Actually, he was like, Parinishthitopi Nairgunya. I was just in Brahman conception. I had sent some of my disciples to recite some Bhagavatam verses. Then he got attracted to sound of Vrishna Bhagavatam. Then I made him sit and then hear the whole Bhagavatam. That's why he's able to speak. No. He was thinking, my God, he's speaking Bhagavatam so wonderfully. So, like that, Vyasadeva was also very interested and eager and absorbed while hearing Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami. So, Sukadeva Goswami, just to speak in front of Vyasadeva is not a small thing. For example, you are giving class, for example, in your IYS. You are preaching to some voices, bases, yogas, etc., right? Colleges. You are speaking to some new boys, JSD course. or what course? What other course?
DOS.
DOS course. Suddenly, some sannyasi comes and sits there.
Will you be able to speak?
Hey, Sachin Prabhu, will you confidently speak? So it's not so easy. But Sukadeva Goswami is absorbed in speaking Bhagavatam. Are, my Guru is here, my Param Guru is here. Prabhupada will come and sit in your class. Will you be able to speak? So we have seen, I was trying to get some photos for Vaishnava Memorial. I was trying to get a photo of Rasagna Mataji. So I was searching everywhere and then finally I found a video where she was explaining her experience of doing a drama. Her husband was Lohitaksha Prabhu and she is Rasagna Mataji. So they were playing a drama for Rukmini Haran. She was playing the role of Rukmini. And he was playing the role of Krishna, I think. So she was confident and then she was performing. She was ready for the drama. Suddenly Prabhupada came and sat. Then she was feeling that, my God, look, what am I doing in front of my guru? He's the guru of the world and I am playing the role of Rukmini? Me? Like that she was saying. Am I playing the role of Rukmini? She felt very embarrassed and then humiliated and then, but okay, anyways, she on the stage, she started performing with a bit of nervousness and other things. But Prabhupada was so absorbed. So Prabhupada did not have any inhibitions. She was explaining with great relish. He did not have any inhibitions or he did not have any judgmental attitude towards, oh, the drama is not going to, that kind of, he did not give even a hint like that. He was so absorbed in drama and he was laughing. So nobody is watching drama except Prabhupada. Because everybody was watching Prabhupada. Right? Everybody was watching Prabhupada's reaction to the drama more than the drama. So like that he was absorbed because he is so Krishna conscious that he can play. But these devotees were so humble that they were saying, oh, how can we do this? So when you love something, love an object, when the object comes in any flavor from anyone, you will be able to appreciate it. But anyways, here Sukadeva Goswami is so absorbed in Bhagavatam. He is so empowered by Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva also loves Krishna. Vyasadeva was impressed with the presentation of Sukadeva Goswami also. So he could make his Guru and Paramaguru also absorb. That's the way great souls, when they speak, that will definitely make an impact on anyone who is sitting in the audience. You try to take the lecture transcription of some sannyasi, right? Some Maharaj, you take lecture transcription as it is. You just memorize everything. Word to word you memorize. You may even imitate the accent also, right? Then you start, say, giving the class in that accent. Same words, exact words. Will they have same impact on the audience? It's not words, it's not accent. It's not the simple vibration of one's vocal cords that can generate some sound, audible sound. When that sound is mixed with the devotion and love of a devotee, that will reach the hearts of people and inform them you are servants of Krishna. Like that. So they will have more impact. So that's why Sukamukhad Amrutadrava Samyutam. Bhagavatam is nectarian. But when that Bhagavatam is being spoken by someone who has love for Bhagavan, then it becomes all the more nectarian. How can you increase the flavor of nectar? Is it possible? Bhagavatam is already nectar and he so and so person increases the flavor of Bhagavatam. It's not possible. But when Sukadeva Goswami speaks, it becomes more relishable. Krishna is already beautiful, but when some of our pujaris go and decorate Krishna nicely with nice flowers and all, he looks more beautiful. Is it not? Sometimes we appreciate the darshan more. Krishna is already beautiful. Same Krishna is standing every day. But it's there in the hand of that so-and-so pujari or his love and his devotion or whatever. sometimes some it's it could be like external skill also, but generally some people can do that. Verses are nectarian, but when some devotee who loves that verse explains that verse, it becomes even more nectarian. So like that, Sukadeva, who has the power to make Bhagavatam message more nectarian than Sukadeva Goswami? He could mesmerize even his guru and paramaguru also. They were hearing Bhagavatam from him as if they were hearing for the first time. I can share one example. Krishna, when he's a little boy, 2-3 year old boy, he would go to the houses of the gopis and steal butter. And his butter stealing activities are so enchanting to all the devotees, especially the gopis of Vrindavan, that they make butter only so that Krishna can come and steal that butter. That's the purpose of their making butter. Right? So although he's hardly just 2-3 year old boy, he did not leave a single gopi's house in the entire Vrindavan. Every single house he covered. So, I mean, he has that ability. And apparently all these gopis are chastising Krishna. You are a thief. You steal. You bother us. You pester us. You do this, you do that, like that. They just catch him. We'll bind you. We'll beat you. We'll tell you. Tell about you to Mother Yashoda. We'll complain on you, like that. All that they say. So gopis were apparently expressing their frustration with Krishna, or irritation with Krishna, or disapproval of Krishna's activities, but internally they were enjoying. So all these gopis who were enjoying the stealing activities of Krishna, they they were enjoying the stealing activities of Krishna, and when they felt that we are having this opportunity of witnessing Krishna stealing activities, but Yashoda Mai doesn't have this opportunity. Why? Because Krishna never steals in Yashoda's house. He doesn't have to steal in Yashoda's house, right? So they were thinking that Yashoda is deprived of this happiness of seeing Krishna stealing. So let's give her this fortune. So all these gopis went to Yashoda Mai to inform Yashoda of Krishna's stealing activities. And they were informing, not just like giving updates and news readers. They were doing it like very seriously disturbed. A disturbed person will start complaining, right? Right? When he starts complaining, how does it sound? So that's how they were sounding. So they were complaining about Krishna. Yashoda Mai, they go in front of Yashoda Mai, he is so naughty, he is so mischievous, why don't you control him? Like that. When we keep the butter in dark rooms, your sons will come and then lit the whole room with their jewels, beautiful ornaments, and they'll lit the room, and then they will figure out where we kept the butter pots, and then they steal from there. Or sometimes when we hang the butter from our ceiling, then somehow they make a pyramid of all the gopas and then climb there and then try to bring that butter down. And if they can't reach that high ceiling, they may take some stone and then throw it, and then when the contents of the broken butter pot are falling off, they will drink that nectar. Sometimes they will distribute butter to, especially Krishna. Krishna will distribute butter to the monkeys. And when their bellies are full, they can't eat anymore, Krishna will throw that butter on our faces and then says that your butter is so useless that even monkeys don't eat it. Sometimes Krishna, when he doesn't find anything in our house, he will pinch our small babies, infant babies, and he will pass urine and stool in our houses. So like that, gopis start complaining about Krishna left, right, center. Then Yashoda was hearing all these complaints. What was their intention? Yashoda doesn't know all these activities. So let her also enjoy. But externally complaints were coming. So here the point is, Yashoda relished Krishna's stealing activities more than the gopis, although she did not witness them. How? Because when the gopis were narrating Krishna stealing activities. Krishna stealing activities are mixed with their love and affection for Krishna. So they become more relishable than directly witnessing it. You directly witness Krishna stealing, definitely you will enjoy. But when you hear about Krishna stealing activities from gopis who love him so much, the enjoyment is million times more. Similarly, Bhagavatam is nectarian, but when you hear from a Bhagavata who has assimilated the essence of Bhagavatam, who has internalized it, who has applied it, the impact of your coming in touch with Bhagavatam is 100 times more. So don't think that I will study on my own. You can never get the 100% message of Bhagavatam just by studying on your own. You need to hear from an experienced person. You need to serve an experienced devotee. That's the way of understanding Bhagavatam. Sukamukhat amrutatrava samyutam. How can Amrita become more nectarian? Because Sukadeva Goswami is involved. When Krishna's activities are mixed with the devotion of a devotee, those activities are more appealing, more relishable, more pleasurable to the hearers. Otherwise, it's difficult. Makes sense? Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink, drink this nectar of Bhagavatam. Pipata. So you don't have to chew. You don't have to take a chaku and then cut the fruit into 10 pieces and remove the seed, remove the peel, remove whatever juices, that white sap comes out, right? Objectionable. Nothing else is there. Directly eat it. You don't have to do any processing. No pre-processing required. But post-processing is required. Once you drink it, you need to apply it. In our case, basically. But great devotees, they can directly relish. So, Pibata Bhagavatam, drink it. Now, Rasam Alayam, Rasa is juice or taste. Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, he is Rasaraj, he is Raso Vaisaha, he is the embodiment of Rasa, he is the object of Rasa, he is the subject of Rasa, he is the Vishaya of Rasa, he is the Ashraya of Rasa. He is the king or reservoir of all Rasas, Rasaraj, Raso Vaisaha. So like that he is described. Rasam alayam here is, laya means liberation. Any of the five liberations, four personal and one impersonal. Alaya means Bhagavatam extends beyond these five types of liberation also. Right? There are four types of personal liberations, one type of impersonal liberation. So Bhagavatam goes beyond this. So laya, alayam means Bhagavatam is on a different plane only. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha are five flavors. Bhagavatam surpasses that also. Prema, Panchama, Purusha, Artha. Right? So, Laya can also mean the eighth Sattvika Bhava, which is Pralaya. There are eight Ashta Sattvika Vikaras, right? So, one is Pralaya or fainting. So, how you need to do? Pipata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Alayam in the second explanation is Laya, which is Pralaya, which is fainting. So by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by drinking the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of a pure devotee, you faint. Then next word is Muhur. Muhur means constantly, again and again. Get up. You faint. You hear, you drink the nectar of Bhagavatam, you faint. Then you get up. Again you drink, you faint. Again you get up, drink, faint. That's what a regular, this fellow will do, drunkards. What do drunkards do? They drink, they faint. They get up, again they drink, they faint. So if some wine of the material world is so intoxicating, what to speak of this transcendental wine of Srimad Bhagavatam? In the prayers of Kardama Muni, I'm not giving any objectionable comparison. I have reference. In the prayers of Kardama Muni, 3rd Canto, 21st chapter, he says, Lokamsha lokanu gatam pasumscha hitva shritaste charanata patram parasparam tvat gunavada sidhu piyusha niryapita deha dharmaha. So Kardama Muni is saying that Bhagavatam the glorification of Krishna is like Piyusha and Sidhu. It's like nectar, it's like an intoxicant also. Nectar you relish, intoxicant you faint. Right? There is an addiction. Intoxicant means you get addicted to it. What is it? Tea, coffee, what else you say? Tea, coffee, cocoa, the chocolates, tobacco, all these are like you get addicted to it. So children eat chocolates and then they get addicted to that chocolate. Without eating chocolate, their day will not pass. Smoking, right? So Bhagavatam is like intoxicant also. Once you get used to the sound vibration of Bhagavatam, you don't feel like getting disconnected from the sound vibration only. In the fourth canto, there is one verse. What is that? I'm not recollecting. It's... Anyways, you can remind me later. I'll try to mention that. So there it is said that you try to mold your life in such a way that you cannot exist without hearing Bhagavatam every day. You need to just plan your life in such a way that without coming in contact with the nectar of Bhagavatam, you cannot exist, you cannot live only. Vina harer guna piyushapana. This is the verse. Last line I'm saying. Vina harer guna piyushapana. Without drinking the nectar of Lord Hari's katha, you don't feel like living. You know, my life is useless. Today, my day is useless because I didn't hear Bhagavatam. I didn't serve Krishna. I didn't hear holy name. That's how a devotee should feel. That's how one had to mold one's life like that. So now coming to this, this verse, I don't remember, 4th canto, somewhere in 22nd chapter, somewhere it comes. So Bhagavatam is like intoxicant, right? Bhagavatam is also like nectar. So muhur aho rasika, that's why they faint. When you drink nectar, you may not faint, right? But we never drank nectar. We don't know what is its effect. You get empowered, you get enlightened, you may get energy, more energy, you get more enthusiasm, all that you may get, I don't know. But when you drink nectar, there is a transcendental ecstasy that the person experiences. So in that mood, he may faint. Right? When he gets up from that fainting condition, again he wants to drink that same nectar, just like a drunkard. Right, it's like a drunkard may go to the bar. He will ask the bar girl, pour more. In what is that called? That cup is called. There is a technical name, na? Whatever. In that glass, you pour more. That fellow will drink, and then again he'll go, hey, come, drink, put more. So like that, they will relish, right? In a stupid material madness. So same thing. Where is it coming from? It's a replica. The original prototype of this original prototype of this madness is there in relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Relishing Krishna Katha. Relishing the qualities of Krishna. He says, our Rupa Goswami says that when I'm chanting the holy names of Krishna, I feel like having millions of tongues. I feel like having millions of ears to hear that name. Tunde tandavini ratim vitanute tunda avali labdhaye karna krodaka dambini ghatayate karna arbhute haspruham jeta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritam no jane janita kiyad bhiramrtai krishneti varnadvayi. So, no jane janita kiyad bhir amrutaihi krishneti varnadvayi. Varnadvayi, these two varnas, syllables, krish and na. I don't know what nectar is embedded within them. Right? I don't understand. But when I'm chanting this holy name Krishna, I feel like having more tongues, millions of tongues. Tunde tandavini. When the holy name of Krishna is doing tandav, tandav means dancing. Ecstatic dancing on my tongue, I feel like having millions of tongues. And when I'm hearing it, I feel like having millions of ears. No jane, I don't understand what's happening to me. I mean, we cannot access that kind of relish when we are sleeping while chanting.
Someone has to get it.
Nimalila Prabhu will do like this. When you sleep, na, he'll do like this. There are some people who do like this. They take bead bag and then put on his head. That fellow will see like this. So different ways of waking up sleeping people in Japa. But Rupa Goswami's Japa is like this. I want billions of tongues. I want billions of ears. That's the relish. So basically, a pure soul has that much potential to relish Krishna Katha and holy name. And because of the thick layers of false ego and ignorance covering the pure soul, we are unable to access it. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. We are supposed to be rasikas. We are supposed to be bhuvi bhavukas. But we are caught up in this bhuvi. We forgot our bhava. Our rasa is gone. Our rasa is diverted to something else. So pure soul potentially is a rasika, is a bhuvi bhavuka. And what does that soul do? Pipata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho. Constantly drinking the nectar of bhagavatam, constantly taking the intoxicant of bhagavatam, fainting in ecstasy, getting up and taking that same intoxicant again. That's our job profile. That's our eternal constitutional position of relishing Krishna's glories. Now we are being deprived of it because of the material contamination. Right? Now, this is winter and I'm wearing this cloth, right? Wearing this shawl. Now, if it's too cold early in the morning, I may wear one more shawl. Inside there is sweater also. There is something inner. Inner, then kurta, bandi, shawl, then 10 more shawls on top of it. Like, then you feel like, right, I'm protecting myself from winter cold, especially in some regions. You go to New York, there is snowstorm. So at that time, for example, you want to scratch on your shoulder. 10 layers of cloth are on your body and you want to scratch here, you scratch there. Will it reach? No. You need to put your hand inside and then scratch, is it not? You can't scratch on the top like this, 1 meter above. Similarly, why we are unable to relish the nectar of Krishna Katha at this stage? Such layers of ignorance and false ego are covering our soul. Layers, thick layers of false ego and ignorance are covering the pure soul who has the potential to relish Krishna Katha, to love Krishna, to serve Krishna. Our service attitude and our loving propensity and our knowledge, our blissful attitude, blissful disposition is completely covered because of the layers of false ego. That's when someone says you are a servant of Krishna, we feel offended. I'm a servant? No, I'm not a servant. So we are being deprived of that opportunity. So by regularly hearing Bhagavatam, we are trying to remove one layer. Now you have 10 shawls covering you. To scratch, remove this shawl, remove that shawl. Then it will reach. Is it not? Similarly, remove the layers of covering every day when you are attending Mangalarti, taking darshan of the deities, chanting 16 rounds, hearing Bhagavatam class, doing various services. We are trying to remove a layer of false ego, a layer of ignorance that is covering your soul. Every day you need to check, did I remove some covering or did I add more covering? More covering. It's very difficult to inform a conditioned soul about his pure nature. Right? It takes lot of purity and endeavor and energy to penetrate through these layers of false ego and reach the soul and inform him, my dear sir, you are a servant of Krishna. Pure devotees can do that. Their representatives can do that because of their empowerment to some extent. Preaching means this only. Preaching means penetrating through the layers of false ego covering the conditioned soul and informing him about his original pure position, constitutional position of being a servant of Krishna. Right? It's a very big responsibility. Right? For that, we need to remove our coverings. We should have an inclination to remove these coverings. I will cover myself and I will tell him, you uncover yourself. That doesn't happen. Right? सो मुहुरहो रसिका भूवि भावुका दिस भूवि भावुका एंड रसिका पीपल दे आर नॉट ज्ञानीस दे आर नॉट कर्मीस दे आर नॉट योगीस दे आर ओनली भक्तास ओनली दे कैन ड्रिंक दे कैन गेट इंटॉक्सिकेटेड दे कैन फेंट टू गेट द एबिलिटी टू फेंट ऑल्सो इज नॉट अ स्मॉल थिंग सो फेंटिंग इन एक्सटेसी ऑफ हियरिंग भागवतम इज अ वेरी रेयर प्रिविलेज इट्स रिजर्व्ड ओनली फॉर फ्यू पीपल 100 people may be sitting in the class. Not everybody connects with the katha in the same level. Right? To the extent one's coverings are removed, to the extent one develops that eagerness to connect with Krishna, to that extent he can take advantage of that sound vibration coming. Right? From a bona fide representative of Krishna. Otherwise, he will sit, he will sleep. He'll go here and there. He may check his smartphone. Some important things are there. That's fine. I'm not commenting on anyone who is having some genuine service. But I'm just saying about distracted mind of a neophyte sadhaka. So, another point. Galitam phalam. Now, galitam phalam is there. Now, what is this tree? This is not mango tree. Here is mango tree outside. So on the top branch, which is at least 30 feet height, there is a ripened fruit. And you want that fruit. Okay? How do you get it? There are different ways of getting it. Pathar le lo, throw it. Throw it on the fruit. It may fall off and then you can take it. Or you take this stick. Bamboo sticks are there, very long bamboo sticks. They put something like this. They tie a small sanyas dandaka. soul's danda, right? Smaller danda. Like that they put some danda, extra danda. They tie it nicely. So that you can just clutch the branch like this and then pull it down. Or some people will put a net below that. So that it falls down right into that net only. May not fall down. So there are different methods. And there is another method. You try to climb the branch. If you are too heavy, take someone who is little lighter, lightweight man. So make him climb the top branches. Because top branches are generally very delicate. Bottom branches, even heavy man also can climb. Top branches, a child, if he climbs, he can easily climb. He's heavy, he's not heavy. So branch may not break also. He can carefully pluck the fruit. For example, a child is a lightweight child. He's on the top branch, he plucked the fruit and gave it to another fellow in the next branch, and that person gave to another person who is in the lower branch. So like that, the ripened fruit passes through the hands of all these four or five people who are sitting on the tree, and then you take that in your hand. You don't have the ability to climb. You only have the idea to throw a stone and get it. You don't have the equipment also to safely pull it down. So what is the best way to get the fruit in its original shape, in its original form, without destroying it or damaging it? Which is a better way? Plucking it and passing it through the hands of experienced tree climbers. Is it not? So if you take a stone and throw it, you may or may not reach it. Even if you reach it, you may or may not get it in its original form. It may be destroyed. Similarly, if you try to understand Srimad Bhagavatam by your own speculative endeavors, keeping aside the explanations of Prabhupada, what will happen? We will not get the right message of Bhagavatam. We will not get the right understanding of Bhagavatam. So, the right understanding of Bhagavatam we will be able to receive only when we hear that Bhagavatam from these explanations of Acharyas. Without Prabhupada's purports, we cannot make sense of what is the message of Bhagavatam. Without Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, there are so many other Acharyas who explained Bhagavatam nicely, you cannot understand. So that is parampara. One cannot taste Bhagavatam in its unbroken form with one's limited intelligence. Yesterday I was saying, Acharyas are close to Krishna. They know what that word means in that context, in that verse. I remember Sanskrit, I'll study on my own. Linguistic acumen doesn't necessitate your understanding of the philosophical treatise, right? Just because you have some linguistic abilities and you have some expertise in Sanskrit, you cannot claim an understanding of Bhagavatam. You may count the syllables, that's all you can do. So, many great souls in Bhagavatam, they are aspiring to absorb themselves in this sound vibration of Bhagavatam. So he says, our Dhruva Maharaj says, Neshya bhavat guna kathamrita pana mattaha. What does he say? Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayime prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam. Yenanja solbana muru vyasanam bhavabdhim neshya bhavat guna kathamrita pana mattaha. Bhavat guna katha amrita pana mattaha. I want to drink the nectar of your transcendental qualities and become intoxicated. Mattaha. Simple Sanskrit. Bhavad, yours. Guna, qualities. Katha, narrations. Amrita, nectarian. Pana, drink. Mattaha, get intoxicated. I just spoke word to word meaning. The sentence is, I want to hear the narrations of your transcendental qualities and activities and become intoxicated by that nectar. This is the aspiration of whom? Dhruva Maharaj. And he also says, our Prahalad Maharaj says, Naivo dvije paradurutyaya vaitarinya tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Tvadvirya, your prowess, valor, gayana, when someone is singing about your prowess, mahamrita, that's very nectarian, magna chittaha, I want to absorb my consciousness in that. This is the aspiration of great devotees. Muhuraho rasika bhui bhavaka. Right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, an invitation is given to us. Come into this bar and take this intoxicant of Krishna Katha and faint. Right? So it's an invitation into the bar. Right in the beginning. And inside that, so many drunkards are explained. Prahalad is one drunkard. And Dhruva Maharaj is another drunkard. So like that, there are so many people are there who already entered the bar. Transcendental bar. There are no bars to enter this bar and drink this wine of Krishna Katha. You just have to have desire, willingness to enter the bar. You should not hesitate. Materialistic people, with great enthusiasm, they enter materialistic bars. But they have hundreds of reservations to enter a spiritual bar. But we have chosen a different path. We have no hesitations or reservations to enter the spiritual bar in a different hairstyle, in a different color dress. Only one color. Whole life you will wear one color only. You don't get bored. Same hairstyle. Is your favorite color, orange color? So people may question. But it's okay. We have no reservations. Right? We have entered this bar. It's fine. Once you enter the bar, you have to forget the outside world. Otherwise, you can't relish inside. If you think about the opinions of outside people, some cultured people are there, sometimes they are inspired by their friends, degraded friends. Come, daru pite. We'll go inside the bar and then do some nonsense. So some cultured people, although they have some inclination inside, they hesitate. Nahi, nahi, yaar, some people, my father's friends may come and see me. What will happen to my image? They hesitate, right, to enter a bar. But some shameless people, they don't hesitate. So we have become shameless. Right? By shaving our heads, we are trying to become shameless. We'll enter the bar of Lord Chaitanya. And dance on the streets also, no problem. My own college mates may see me dancing on the street like a madman. Hare Krishna, and it's okay. We have become shameless. If a drunkard can become shameless to get intoxicated on a material plane, why should you feel the shame of getting intoxicated by spiritual nectar of Bhagavatam? Makes sense. It should make sense for us to survive here. If it doesn't make sense, we can't survive here. So we are trying to be drunkards on a different plane. So muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. So I think we have discussed sufficiently. We'll go to the purport. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things. I think I have covered most of the highlights of the purport, except this. There are different rasas, 12 rasas, of which 5 are very... 5 rasas are primary rasas, others are secondary rasas. 7 are secondary rasas. So the sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. Some people may say, I love my dog more than my son. I leave my property in the name of my dog. Prabhupada says, okay sir, you are leaving your property in the name of your dog, but you are going to become a dog. What about that? That's what Prabhupada says. People love their dogs more than their relatives or other people. Sometimes, some people. They don't get such emotional exchange and fulfillment in relations, human relations. They try to find it in animal relations. Yeah, it's good to be compassionate and kind to animals, no problem. But humans, with humans, it's a better. It's better to connect with humans. It's more natural, right? So Prabhupada writes here, the rasas are exchanged between members of same species, generally. In general. So, we are spiritual and Krishna is spiritual. A rasa can be possible between two spirits. Right? That way. That's the point Prabhupada is trying to make. So, the rasas are originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole. So, originally exchanged between Krishna and his part and parcel living entity. But in the conditioned state, that rasa is very immaturely, ignorantly, wrong, in a wrong manner, experienced with material relationships. I mean, he's also spirit soul. We are also spirit soul. Definitely, when a relationship can be established between these two spirit souls, with the supreme spirit soul in the center. But we kept him aside. And what are we trying to do? We kept material bodies in the center. Two spirits are trying to connect with each other with matter in the middle. What kind of relationship is that? That doesn't have any substance. Two spirits are trying to rub against each other with matter in the middle. It's such an incompatible relationship. So when you bring Krishna in the center, then when they try to connect with each other based on that spiritual service and spiritual love, then that relationship is substantial. When you are making friendship with other devotees, that should not be on the basis of material considerations. It may begin like that in our stage. Oh, he is also from same voice, I am also from the same voice. We are friends. Yeah, it may begin like that, not a problem. But that should not be the only reason for you to have friendship with him. He is chanting Hare Krishna, I am also trying to chant Hare Krishna. He is a nice devotee, I am also trying to become a nice devotee. He will inspire me in my devotional service, let me have a relationship with him. That should be the basis of relationship. Right? So, he likes sweets, I also like sweets. Or he likes sweets, I don't like sweets. Right? So I like sweets and he doesn't like sweets. When he gets sweets, he can give me. So, there is friendship. So, these are various considerations. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. You pamper my ego, I pamper your ego. As soon as you crush my ego, out. No more relationship with you. So, rasa is originally exchanged between spiritual living being and spirit whole. And when that relationship is being, and two souls are trying to connect with each other, it has to be with Krishna in the center. Right? You find gopis are friends, gopas are friends. All centered around Krishna. All the relations are centered around Krishna. These Shruti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position. Okay. Other things you can read. not much. One point I need to mention here. Sukha is parrot. So when a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Sukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father. It's not exact verbatim repetition, it is realization. When you realize the subject matter, you understand how to present that subject matter to different audience. Simple fact. He is glorified for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal all classes of men. Understanding the philosophies on one level, presenting that philosophy or Krishna Katha to different audience, in a way to connect them to Krishna, is a different art. Right? That needs more purity, more empowerment, maybe some skill also. So, at our stage, we'll try to first understand ourselves, then we'll see what to do next. So, here, Sukadeva Goswami has the ability to present this message of Bhagavatam in a way that is understandable by everybody. So, that's the point here. So, for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wants to give Krishna consciousness to everybody. But he did not indiscriminately do that. When he is speaking to, say, Ramanandra, Swarup Damodar Goswami, like that very intimate, close associates, he is discussing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And when he is speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, like that kind of big scholars, he is speaking philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva, all these tattvas he is speaking. He is not speaking Rasa Tattva there. Like that. Then when he is speaking to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, he is speaking the teachings of devotional service, the process of devotional service. Sambandha, Videya, Prayojana. That's how he is presenting. And when he is speaking to some normal crowd, he just does Harinam Sankirtan, Hare Krishna chanting, Hari Haraya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah. Because they cannot understand Radha Krishna Leelas. They cannot understand Gita philosophy. They cannot understand the technicalities of the process of devotional service. They should just chant Hare Krishna. So like that, with four different categories of people, Mahaprabhu is presenting same Krishna consciousness in four different ways. Right? So one needs to have some maturity to present the philosophy to different kinds of audience in a way that interests them. In a way that they can connect. You start speaking something very super esoteric and then it's good, wonderful Krishna Katha only. But when you launch it at a place where it is not appreciated, then probably they may not be able to appreciate it from other people also because of the way you presented it. Right? So we need to have some experience and training in doing that. So Sukadeva Goswami is appreciated for his ability to present Bhagavatam to all classes of men. Next, so this is the prelude, first three verses of Bhagavatam, which we discussed for such a long time. 1 hour we took, Nivagama Kalpataror, fine. So rest of the chapter is simple, 6 questions are there. So we'll take it in the next 1.5 hours. So there are 3 categories of speakers. Speaker-hearer pairs in the first canto, who are they? Speaker-hearer pairs. Pair. Combination of speaker and hearer. Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. 1. Next. Who else? Samanakadrishan and Sukadeva Goswami. Great. 2nd. 3rd. That is in 3rd canto. 1st canto. Narada and Vyastra. Okay. That's not Bhagavatam discussion. That's another counseling session. So, these 3 pairs are of different levels. Sutta Goswami and Naimisharanya sages, their combination is on a Kanishta level. Why? Because initially these sages had a plan to do sacrifice. They sat for karmakandic sacrifice, somehow they ended up in hearing Bhagavatam. So the background of their sitting in class was initially with some karmakandic inclinations. So that's considered Kanishta level. Second is Madhyam. Vyasadev and Narada Muni. Vyasadev sat in Narada Muni's class with a background of incompleteness, despondency, dissatisfaction, insufficiency. And I have written so many Vedic literatures, still I am not getting any satisfaction. So like that, he was feeling like an incompleteness in the heart. So with that background, he sat. He sat, he heard from Narada Muni. But Sukadeva Goswami, when he came and spoke, Bhagavatam Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj has given up everything in life. He has retired from his kingdom. As BBT painting shows, he's wearing only Gopindir. No clothes also. All the royal paraphernalia, wife, children, husband, ministers, kingdom, palace, comforts, everything he left. The only agenda in the rest of his life is to hear Krishna Katha alone. There is nothing else in his life to do. He is completely detached. He is totally renounced. There is nothing else that he needs to do apart from hearing Krishna Katha. Such exclusive attention to Krishna Katha and such complete renunciation from anything else other than Krishna Katha made him the best hearer of Bhagavata. Same thing with Sukadeva Goswami also. He is not wearing even kopin also. Sukadeva Goswami has no other agenda in life except speaking Krishna Katha. He is also totally renounced. So that renunciation from anything else other than glorification of Krishna is considered the foremost quality of a relisher of Bhagavatam. So they are there only to relish Bhagavatam, nothing else. And a class ke baad kidhar to jana hai, some managerial meeting is there. Beech mein phone calls are hai. That kind of is not our setup. I keep getting so many calls in the middle, I keep it aside. So they don't have that kind of agendas. They have exclusive dedication to Krishna Katha. And to come to that stage is not a small thing. For that our engagements are also needed. Other engagements are needed. Because we are not at that level where you are given opportunity, for example. 24 hours you can hear Bhagavatam. 7 by 24. You have no other schedule, no other seva, nothing. Will you be able to do it? Tejas Prabhu, Tejas Prabhu, right? 7 by 24 can you hear Bhagavatam? I have recordings. I have thousands of hours of recordings, at least 10, 12, 20,000 of hours of recordings I can give you. Just of Vidyapeeth. Can you hear 7 by 24? You need some rest. And you need some physical engagement also. Bhushan Prabhu was following up with me. Give them physical engagement. Physical engagement. Yes, we'll give. Temple hall cleaning they can do. Right? So we need other engagements also. But to come to that stage, it will take a lot of time. He says, don't worry that I am thirsty or hungry. Because I start speaking. Chutam harikathamrutam. He says, naishati dussahakshunnam kyaktodam apibadhate pibantam tvan mukhan pojam chutam harikathamrutam. Naisha na esha ati dussahakshunnam. This kshun, this urge to eat or urge to drink, hunger and thirst are extremely difficult to tolerate. You will realize it on Nirjal Ekadashi day when you come to June. Naisha ati dussaha kshunman. Dussaha means you can't tolerate. Ati dussaha means you cannot tolerate at all. So this urge to drink and eat cannot be tolerated, but api badhate, tyaktodam api badhate. They are not troubling me at all. Why? Pibantam tvan mukham bhoja. Pibantam, I am drinking what? Tvan mukham bhoja. The nectar that is emanating from your mouth, that is Krishna Katha. Chutam Hari Katha Amrutam. What is coming from his mouth? Hari Katha Amrutam is coming. One more example of intoxication. Like that, there are so many intoxication examples. Bhagavatam is filled with drunkards only. Who are drinking Krishna Katha and getting intoxicated. So now we are beginning this new episode. नैमिषे निमिष क्षेत्रे ऋषयः शौनकादयः सत्रं स्वर्गाय लोकाय सहस्रशमवासत। नैमिषे निमिष क्षेत्रे, right in the forest known as Naimisharanya, Animisha Kshetre, it is very favorite spot of Vishnu. Rishayah Saunakadayah, so many rishis assembled there, headed by Saunakrishi. So Satram Svargaya Lokaya, so initially they wanted to do some Satram, sacrifice for Svargaya, to attain heavenly planets. That was their initial disposition. That's why I just mentioned the three categories. So, but of course, later they became very enthusiastic to hear. Their initial disposition cannot be taken forever. Transcendental, constitutional disposition. So, Satram Svargaya Lokaya means to attain heavenly planets. So, they started doing some sacrifice. So, initially they were attached to some Sakama Karma. But because of Sutta Goswami's association, they have developed a taste for bhakti. They have developed a taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Karmanyasmin anavase dhumra dhumratmanam bhavan. At the end of first canto they say, we thought of sitting and doing sacrifice, but our faces are only becoming black because of that sacrifice. We are not interested in the sacrifice anymore. Yajna band karo, katha chalu karo. Right? Start speaking Krishna katha. This is more exciting than participating yajna. Swaha, swaha. Now we want to hear this. So in this purport, Prabhupada describes about the glory of Naimisharanya. You can read in the purport. And in general he says that this sacrifice has to be conducted for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. Okay. Not for anyone else. And if we try to perform some sacrifice or anything for satisfaction of our own senses, that will be the cause of bondage. But if we do it for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna, that will be the cause of deliverance. What is the verse? Recently you did Bhakti Shastri, no? What is the verse? What's your name? Advai Prabhu, tell me. Advai Tattva. Ignarthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhana. You complete the verse. Second two lines you say, na? Oh, half verse only memorized. Yes. Great. Mukta Sangaha? Samachar. You cannot conclude by hearing half the verse and understand that he knows the full verse. Of course, I also forget so many verses. Second half. So, that is the purpose of doing sacrifice. Okay, peace and prosperity will come only when you do it for Krishna. So, the sages are very anxious to do good for people in general. Satram Svargaya Lokaya, they were trying to do sacrifice for the welfare of people in general. So, such great souls always try to do welfare work for the humanity. And the greatest welfare work is to offer worship to Krishna. When you water the root, automatically the entire tree gets nourished. Prabhupada writes like that. So, worship Krishna, everybody will get nourished. Ta ekada tu munayah pratar huta hutagnayah satkritam sutam asinam paprachur idam adarat. Ta ekada tu munayah pratar huta hutagnayah. So one day, after finishing their early morning duties and other things, so they offered a esteemed seat to Suta Goswami. Satkritam Sutam Asinam Paprachur Idam Adarat. Adarat, with great respect, Paprachur, they placed these enquiries in front of Suta Goswami. My dear Suta, we have some questions. Can you please answer? Like that they said. So,
Bhagavad Gita or from his body and he's killing Ravana.
No, Maharshi Mithuta, correct. 10th canto.
And then Sita Goswami asked to speak. Is that two different incidents?
Same people are hearing from the same speaker, and it is said that that discussion is continuing. Exact timeline. Same, bro. Sutta Goswami started speaking to Savanakadi Rishis after Ramaharshi and Sutta's death. So that discussion is continuing. It seems that they have heard many other subject matters also earlier. It seems like that. So, in this purport, Prabhupada writes about the mood of a speaker, responsibility of a speaker, and responsibility of hearer. The Goswamis do not deliver lectures on the Bhagavatam capriciously. Rather, they execute their services most carefully, following the predecessors who delivered the spiritual message unbroken to them. So it's not just about giving lectures. It is also about doing service, following in the footsteps of and callously or whimsically. Whimsically is the right word. Independently, like that. So rather, they execute their services most carefully, following their predecessors. Exact dictionary meaning we can refer. Whimsically, correct? So those who listen to the Bhagavatam may put questions to the speaker in order to elicit the clear meaning, but not in a challenging spirit. With great regard for the subject matter and speaker, they need to present submissive inquiries and get oral reception from the right sources. Like that. The hearer's responsibility is to maintain a mode of submissiveness and surrender and respect for the subject and speaker. And the speaker's responsibility is not just to speak, but to also do this his services and develop on his personal character also. Right? So, such qualifications of Sutta Goswami we will see in the next few verses. 6, 7, 8 are the qualifications of Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami. Rishaya Uchuhu. त्वया खलु पुराणानि सेतिहासानि चानघ आख्यातान्यप्यधीतानि धर्मशास्त्राणि यान्युतम् त्वया खलु पुराणानि स इतिहासानि चानघ यू हैव एसिमिलेटेड ऑल दिस पुराणास एंड इतिहासस एवरीथिंग यू नो Akhyatani api adhitani. Adhitani means you have well studied them. You have read them nicely. Akhyatani means you have already spoken about them also. So by reading, you get an understanding. And by explaining what you read, you get more understanding. Right? By trying to share with others, you understand the subject matter more, deeper. So he has experience of both reading also and explaining also. Akhyatanyapyadhitani dharma shastrani yanyuta. He have studied all dharmic scriptures nicely. So Sutta Goswami must be freed from all vices before he can dare to sit on Vyasasana. Anyone like that. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. You see, reading is important certainly, but only by reading you cannot understand completely. Self-study. So you need to sit in classes also. Now we can say conducting course, why classes are there? It can be self-study whole day. After class there is self-study, right? So reading in alignment with hearing and also explanation. Explaining. Exam is also like explaining only. You are writing. So like that. Yani Veda Vidam Shreshto. One more point. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source By submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Who can explain? One who has heard and assimilated the subject from a right source. Yani Vedavidam Shrestom Bhagavan Vyadarayanah Anye Jamunaya Sutam Paravaravido Viduhum. Yani Vedavidam Shrestho. Vedavida means one who knows Vedas, one who has studied Vedas, one who is a scholar of Vedas, like that. Vedavidam means knower of Vedas. Yani Vedavidam Shrestho, you are the best of all knowers of Vedas. Bhagavan Badarayanah Anye Chamanayah Suta. So you have learned this knowledge from Badarayana, Vyasadeva. You have the knowledge of Vyasadeva also and many other sages also. So different professors, different scholars propose different theories and then write many books and all. By reading all of them, by hearing all of them, you get their knowledge. So you have the knowledge of many such great sages. That's what they're saying. Anyeja munayah suta paravara vidho viduhu. Para avara viduhu. So paravara means amongst the learned scholars who are conversant with physical and metaphysical knowledge. So para, apara. Material knowledge also, spiritual knowledge also. Like that. Para is spiritual, apara is like not spiritual, material. So he knows things about this world also nicely. He can analyze this world. He can explain about the spiritual world also. Like that. You know both material and spiritual subjects nicely. But is that the qualification to sit and speak Bhagavatam? No. What all he said? Say, sixth verse, they said that you are anagha, free from all vices. You are sinless. Then akhyatani adhitani. You are well read and you have explained them also. Next, Vedavidam Shrestaha. You are an expert learned Vedantist with knowledge of so many sages. So is that the qualification? No, it is not the sufficient qualification. It is only an external qualification. What is the internal qualification? What is the primary qualification? Even to develop this external qualification. That is the eighth verse. Vetattvam saumya tat sarvam. Vetattvam saumya tat sarvam. Tatvatas tadanugrahat. Bhruyuhu snigdhasya sishyasya. Bhruyuhu snigdhasya sishyasya. Guravo guhyam apyuta. Vetattvam saumya tat sarvam. Vetattvam means you know everything. Right? What all you know? You know all the confidential secrets of Vedic literatures. How did you know? Saumya. We'll come to the Saumya later. Tattvataha. In truth, you know all this, all these concepts. Why? Because of the mercy of your gurus. Tad anugrahat. Guravo. Guravo means your multiple teachers. Guhyam apyuta, although the subject matter is very confidential, they have revealed all those confidential truths to you. Guhyam apyuta, tad anugrahat, by their great mercy, they have revealed everything to you. So how to invoke that mercy of teacher? Tad anugrahat, guru anugraha. How do we get it? To have these two qualities, saumya and snigdha. Saumya means simplicity, purity. On a personal level. Snigdha means love, affection, submission. So one needs to be simple at heart personally and one needs to be very submissive and surrendered in front of Guru. Maintain your personal simplicity and when you approach in front of Guru, be very humble, very submissive. So when you have these two qualities of Saumya and Snigdha, gurus will reveal all confidential secrets of Vedic literatures to you and you will know everything, the essence of everything. Not in terms of the volume of information or the magnitude of information. So magnitude is not as important as attitude. We may be carried away by the magnitude of operations, but the attitude behind operations is more important. Okay. So while rejecting other sages who may extract their own ideologies from the confidential shastras, we are asking you, my dear speaker Suta Goswami, please speak. Please speak whatever you have learned from your gurus. Like that they say, the request. So earlier they mentioned about his scholarship. Now they are mentioning about his simplicity and submissiveness. Simplicity and submissiveness and service attitude are more important than your scholarship, shastric knowledge, accomplishments. So we need to cultivate these primary virtues before entering the scholarly arena, academia. Right? Definitely you need to study Bhagavatam systematically, but we need to be conscious of cultivating this attitude of studying Bhagavatam, mood of approaching Bhagavatam. Saumya and Snigdha, these two are very important. Some people, sometimes some neophyte disciples may become envious of other disciples who may be little more, accomplished or attention attracting or popular in that sense. So seeing this external glory of some people, some devotees, other devotees may sometimes become little or insecure or envious or jealous of them. But before seeing his charisma and accomplishment and popularity, name, fame, etc., you need to think, use little common sense. Why did he get this? What is the root cause of it? Snigdha and Soumya. Personally, he is very simple. So Krishna is using him as an instrument to spread his glories. Snigdha. He is very submissive to his guru. So guru is empowering him to spread the glories of Krishna. So no point become jealous of or envious of another devotee who may be doing better than us in devotional service. So all these competitive spirits, I think you may leave in the colleges only, in the companies only. So that kind of material competitive spirit should not be brought into spiritual circles. That's what we discussed yesterday. Nirmatsaranam satam vidyam. Bhagavatam is understandable by people who are pure-hearted, non-envious, and who transcended material competitiveness. Right? Competitive sense gratification purposes. Right? Raise beyond this competitive spirits. Like that. Cultivate these qualities of Saumya and Snigdha. These are very important. These are the jewel-like aspects of a disciple's character. Saumya and Snigdha. Like that. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Satisfying his spiritual master and getting sincere blessings. Yeah, spiritual master may give obligatory blessings also sometimes. No, he may not do this. See, spiritual master from his side, he is always sincere. But if you are also sincere, then you will get more sincere blessings. Right? Just because he is kind to you, affectionate to you, he may give you blessing. But if you have that service attitude and the right disposition, then he will be more eager to give blessings. That's why Prabhupada is using the word sincere blessings. Blessings are always sincere. Why sincere blessings is used specifically? So, only by the satisfaction, by his satisfaction one can please the Lord. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc in the path of spiritual realization. Reference. I want reference for this statement by Prabhupada. You heard the statement? Only by his satisfaction, his guru's satisfaction, one can please the Lord. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc in the path of spiritual realization. This is an example. Good example. Wonderful example. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. I asked for the reference verse. But your example is nice. Ramachandrapuri. Ishwarpuri satisfied Madhavendrapuri by serving him so menially, and Ramachandrapuri, it is satisfied. So there is havoc in his life, like that. Ninth verse. Tatra tatranjasa yushman bhavata tadvinishchitam pumsamekantatah shreyaham tannah samsitum arhasim. Tatra tatranjasa yushman bhavata yadvinishchitam. So she says, now they ask a question after glorifying him. First they offer seat to Suta Goswami, glorified him in various ways, his external qualifications and internal qualifications. Now they are asking the first question. Tatra tatra anjasa yushman, my dear Suta Goswami, anjasa ayushman. Ayushman means, ayu is life, lifespan. So Ayushman, may you be blessed with a long lifespan, like that. Before hearing, they are blessing the speaker. They are invoking blessings. Not that. You can't take it that way. Bhavata, your good self. So may you be blessed with many years. It's a desire, a sincere desire expressed by another person, that may he be blessed with long lifespan. That way. You cannot say that he is personally blessing and all that. So therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us. What is that? Anjasa. Pumsam ekantatah shreyaha. Whatever you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for people in general. You explain, anjasa means in an easily understandable way. What is ultimate good? People will may give lecture. Ultimate good. Nobody will understand it. We understand that you understand, but we don't understand what you understand. So that kind of lecture is not actually appreciated. But tatra tatra anjasa yushman, in an easily understandable way, please explain. What? Pumsam ekantatah shreyah. The ultimate, ekantatah means one and only, ultimate good for people in general. Tannaha samshita arhasi. Please speak that. So acharyas and goswamis are always absorbed in the thought of well-being of people in general. See, the very first question that they are asking is how people may be benefited. So that shows their compassionate spirit. So a self-centered person may think about one's own self. He may think about his own self, my welfare, my prosperity, my peace, my need. So that's what they may think. But a selfless person will think about others before he thinks about himself. So they are asking about people in general. Foreseeing the incompetencies of the people in this age of Kali, the sages are requesting, please tell us what is the ultimate good for people in general. So foreseeing the incompetencies of Kali Yuga people, what are that Kali Yuga people? What is their problem? That's explained in the 10th verse. Prayanalpayushah sabhyam kalavasmin yuge janah mandah sumanda matayoh manda bhagya hipadritah. Prayanalpayushah sabhyam. Prayana means almost always. Alpa ayushah. They have very meager amount of lifespan. Their ayu is very less. Alpayushaha. That's one quality. First quality is alpayu. Maximum 100 years. That too if he's lucky. Otherwise 80, 70, 60, 40, 50, 30, 20. As Kali Yuga progresses, the lifespan. 20-year-old man may be seem very grand old man. We don't know. So prayena alpayushaha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaha mandaha. So alpayusha means less lifespan. Just for argument's sake, think that they have long lifespan. But mandaha, although they have long lifespan, they are lazy fellows. So much time is given, they don't know how to utilize only. They are manda, lazy people. For argument's sake, generally it doesn't happen, but argument's sake, think that Kalika people are not lazy. They are not manda, but they are sumanda mata yoho. Although they are not lazy, they are so active, still they are working under some misguidance. They don't have proper guidance. When an active person has an improper guidance, he will create havoc more actively. Right? That's what Kali Yuga people are. First, they don't have enough time, no lifespan. Second, they are lazy. Third, they are misguided. So Chakvartipad puts all of them in sequence. Even if they have long lifespan, they are lazy. Even if they are not lazy, they are misguided. Even if they are not misguided, Manda Bhagya, they are unlucky people, unfortunate. They are not misguided, they get good guidance, but they are so unlucky that they can't take advantage of that good guidance. Right? That is misfortune. Manda Bhagya. Next is Upadhritaha. Even if they have the, they are lucky enough to take advantage of that good fortune, good guidance, Upadhritaha, they are constantly disturbed. Because good guidance, you may get good guidance that you attend Mangalarti every day, you chant Hare Krishna, all this. So you are also eager to do it. But because of the third class bodies of Kali Yuga, you may have some health problem. Or you may have some other issues, family issues, or legal issues, property issues, this. So much of disturbance in Kali Yuga only. Right? Some other complications. Because of all these complications, even an eager person also may not be able to practice the right path, even if he gets it. This is Kali Yuga. Welcome. Welcome to Kali Yuga. All glories to Kali Yuga Vasis. So, you got the sequence right? But despite all this, Kali Yuga is glorious. When you come in contact, whatever little amount of devotional service we do, it will go into eternal bank account. So, these are like more elaborately explained here. Life duration is shortened. Not because there is insufficient food. Not like that. There is no insufficient food. It's because of irregular habits. Food is sufficient. But you don't know how to take it. At proper intervals, proper time, proper quantity, and proper menu. So because of that, there is less life duration. Overeating, over-sense gratification, and over-dependence on another's mercy. These are all artificial standards of life. That's why less life duration. Lazy. People are lazy, not materially. Materially also they are lazy. But spiritually they are more lazy. And even if they are not lazy because of bad education system, which says that getting a job, getting some money to maintain family is your prayojan. Abhideya is studying all these literatures. Sambandha, no one knows. Right? So people put wrong overemphasis on some substandard and insubstantial things. That's what misguidance is. Modern education system will make the student believe that this is life. Right? Enjoying like this. What enjoyment do you have? You work so hard, day and night, earn money, and once in a while, once in 2 months or 3 months, go for a picnic. Close your kitchen and eat the food that is cooked by all these stupid restaurant people and enjoy their fun in some resort center. Go for a picnic. So 2 days we enjoyed so much and then back to work. Right? Most corporates run like this. You know better. Right? When I was working in TCS, I was just pitying these people. What are they eating? They just get 2 chapatis. Wife and husband, my boss was Innovation Labs, right? He's a senior scientist. I was just new researcher. But before probation period, only I left. I said, I want to join BT, give me 1 year leave. Then later, after four or five days, I went and said, I'll not come after 1 year. I'm resigning. He got a shock of his life. So they don't have time to cook. Wife is working. Husband is working. Child is left to some aya or some caretaker, nurse kind of thing. Right? So The modern education system will put overemphasis on something which is insubstantial, that cannot give you permanent happiness. Okay, misguided teachers. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions. That's about unluckiness. Then next is disturbed by so many engagements. So many things are distracting them. So, Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami may say that, oh, you wanted a process of ultimate good for people in general. All this is mentioned in scriptures. I will speak all scriptures. He may say like that. But the sages said, no, don't speak all scriptures. Because Kaliga people have these five glorious qualifications. They cannot understand all scriptures even if you speak. You should speak the essence of scriptures. Not all the scriptures. Get the juice of it. Get the essence and then give us. That's what is their second question. Bhuri bhurini karmani.
Bhuri bhurini karmani. Srotavyani
vibhagasaham.
Srotavyani vibhagasaham.
Ataha sadhotra yat saram.
Ataha sadhotra yat saram.
Samudhritya manishayam.
Samudhritya manishayam.
Bhuri bhadraya bhutanam.
Bhuri bhadraya bhutanam.
Yenatma suprasidati.
Yenatma suprasidati.
Bhuri karmani means multifarious duties. So many duties. A person will get up and then he has 100 things to do in life. Yeah, so especially nowadays, the to-do list is very exhaustive for every person. Everybody is busy on smartphone. Just travel in a train or bus or flight or whatever. Continuous 1.5 hours, you see, are sitting on flight. Most people, they like that, answering mails and very busy. Hardly anyone is seen with a book. Opening. I prepare for my class. Opening Bhagavatam. And these people are all on the phone. Are, there is no signal. What you are doing? They are constantly there on it. Bhuri bhurini karmani. Srotavyani iti srotavyadini rajendra. Nanam santi sahasrasaha. They have hundreds and thousands of topics to hear. Srotavyani vibhagasaha. So, atah sadho atra yat saram samudhritya manishaya. So, my dear Suta Goswami, in the scriptures also, so many types of instructions are mentioned. So, you should speak the saram, the essence of all those activities. Scriptures may recommend sacrifices also. Scriptures may recommend so many vratas also. And so many other protocols, Varnashrama rules, regulations, this and that, Shraddha ceremony regulations. So many such things are there. You speak the saram. Essence only you speak. Don't speak everything. Eh? So samudhritya means select. Saram samudhritya. You select the essence of all of that. Then you speak. Manishaya, with your best intelligence. To select the essence also, you need some intelligence, common sense. You tell someone to select flowers. Go to flower market and get some flowers. So he will get some big load of flowers. You can't make garlands out of it. You can only put decoration. Garlands, man. The purpose of the flowers, you know, purpose of sending you to market is to get flowers to make DT garlands and DT whatever ornaments, decorations and other things. So the purpose has to be solved. If you get some roses and chavanti and this and that, fine. You get a truckload of jarbara, ekhi color. You get a truckload of gonda, only one color. So it may not, he's given money, he's given facility, but he doesn't understand how to utilize it properly. Right? Get the essence. Right? So that needs common sense. To know the essence, you need common sense. Otherwise, we'll end up in nonsense. Right? So saram samudhritya manishaya. To select, you need intelligence. Now you need to purchase some phone, Mac, you need to purchase Mac. So MacBook Air is good, MacBook Pro is good, MacBook, what all other things are coming now? iPad, this and that. So which is the best product for my current need? That we need to understand. So to select it, you need to have some knowledge. They have all this, processor, what else? i7, I6 is not there in this. iOS. Fine. I don't know all that. I don't know all that configuration. I always tell someone to select best configuration, suggest best configuration, because I don't have that samudritya. I don't have that manishaya. Right? If you have manishaya, good intelligence, then you know the saram. You can select samudritya saram. Saram samudritya manishaya. You need to have proper knowledge in that. I use my manishaya for some other things where I have some understanding, but not in certain things. So, Bhuri Bhadraya Bhutanam, Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami's expertise is, he knows all the scriptures, he knows what is the essence, he knows how to extract the essence with his manisha, advanced intelligence. So, Bhuri Bhadraya Bhutanam, Yenatma Suprasidati, select the essence of all scriptures and speak it for the welfare of people in general. That's the second question. First question, second question, more or less same. First question they said, what is the ultimate good for people in general? Second question they are saying, essence of all scriptures, yen atma suprasidati, by which one's atma can be satisfied. One's mind, one's heart can be completely satisfied. You have a question? This happened long back. Immediately they did not sit. It may be presented like that. They were hearing from Ramaharshan Sutta after that. Initially. After that. What do you say? That Hindi with some interesting phrase there. I don't know Hindi much. Okay. So don't speak all the scriptures. Why many scriptures are there? Why many instructions are there in the scriptures? Because people are different. Everybody is influenced by a unique combination of modes. 22% of goodness, 38% of passion, rest ignorance. 46.3% of ignorance, 33.8% of passion, rest is ignorance. It's like that. Rest is goodness. Like that, everybody is influenced by a unique combination of modes. For him, the unique instruction has to be given. So, like that, list is so much. So many instructions are given in scriptures. But there is some essential instruction, right? So that you repeat to us. Most important thing. 12th verse. They are asking the third question in the 12th verse. All blessings upon you, Suta Goswami. Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi. I'll discuss this later. Devakyam Vasudevasya Jato Yasya Chikirshaya. Why did this Bhagavan Krishna Satvatampati appear as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki? Third question is the purpose of Krishna's appearance. First question, ultimate good for people in general. Second question, essence of all scriptures. Third question, purpose of Krishna's appearance. Three questions they asked. So we need to elaborate on Bhagavan Satvatampatihi. Bhagavan is Supreme Personality of Godhead who possesses all opulences. Fine. Satvatampati is explained by Acharyas in various ways. Sattva, Sattvan means, Sattvan is Vishnu. Why he is called Sattvan? Because he is possessor of Sat. What is Sat? Sat is devotees. Sat are devotees. Sattvan means Vishnu. And Satvataha means one who possesses Vishnu. Sat, devotee. Sattvan, Vishnu. Satvataha means again devotee. Satvatampati is again Vishnu. Sat means Sat, Sant, Sant Mahatma. Sat means a devotee. A possessor of a devotee is called Sattvan. Sattvataha means possessor of the possessor of devotee is called Sattvataha. Sattvatam pati is possessor of possessor of possessor of devotees. Sat, devotee. Sattvan, Vishnu. Possessor of devotees. Sattvataha, devotee, possessor of Vishnu. Sattvatam pati, master of those devotees. Clear? That is Sattvatam pati.
Sattvan is
possessor of Vishnu. And Sattvata, Possessor of Vishnu, devotee.
Okay.
Our simple word is Sat means absolute truth. Okay. Sattvata means one who has understanding of absolute truth, one who is a servant of absolute truth. Sattvatampati is master of that servants. Okay. This is how Acharyas explain this. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bhi. Kutimarani says one verse. Why Krishna appears in this world? Mainly to introduce the path of devotional service. We'll come to Kunti's prayers and then we'll discuss there. 13th verse. Tannaha susroshamananam arhasyanganu varanitum yasyavataro bhutanam
Shemaya
cha bhavaya cha tannaha susrushamananam. We are very eager to hear. That susrushamana, eagerness and enthusiasm to hear, is the qualification of a hearer. Arhasi anga anuvarnitum. Anuvarnitum means you have the ability to describe, varnan. You can do varnan. So that is the qualification of a speaker. Right, arhasi angan varnitum yasya avataro bhutanam kshemaya cha bhavaya cha. You need to describe about Lord's incarnations. We are very eager to learn about Lord's avatars. Please explain them, those things. So kshemaya cha bhavaya cha. So kshemaya cha means for the liberation of people in general. Bhavayacha means for the prosperity. So this is the 13th verse. Basically they are expressing their eagerness to hear about Vasudeva, Krishna. So audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. And speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession of a recognized acharya. Prabhupada writes like that only. Please explain us those teachings imparted by the previous acharyas. 14th verse. Apannah samsritim ghoram yannam avivasho grunan tatah sadyo vimuchyeta yadbibheti svayam bhayam. Apannah samsritim ghoram yannam avivasho grunan. Apannah means one who is entangled. Prapanna is one who is surrendered. Right? Prapanna, you understand? One who surrenders to Krishna. Apanna means one who doesn't surrender to Krishna. If you don't surrender, what will happen? Entanglement. Apanna. Where is entangled? Samsritim. In the hurdle of birth and death. Ghoram. Too complicated. A person who is entangled in the complicated network of birth and death. Yan nama vivasho grunan. If he takes the holy name of Krishna even unconsciously, vivasha grinan, then tataha sadyo vimuchyeta, at once he can be liberated. Vimuchyeta means liberated. You are able to follow the Sanskrit, no? Simple Sanskrit. Yad bibhedi swayam bhayam, because fear personified is fearful of Krishna. And if you take his name, one can easily get deliverance. Right? That is the glory of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Right? So even Mahakala is fearful of Krishna. Yamaraj may be fearful of Krishna. So this is specifically indicating the example of Ajamil. Because he took the holy name of the Lord at the time of death. Unconsciously. Apannaha samsritim ghoram yannama vivasho grunam. Vivasha. Helplessly he has taken. So even he, or Yamaraj tells the Yamadutas, in Ajamil's case only, don't try to bring people who are devotees of Krishna. He says, Te deva siddha parigita pavitra gatha ye sadhavo samadrishah bhagavat prapanna tannopasidata harer gadaya bhiguptan naisham vayam nachavayah prabhavama dande te deva siddha parigita pavitra gatha. Their pavitra gatha, their pure narrations, devotees' pure narrations, are sung by devas, demigods, siddhas, perfected beings. Parigita, they are glorifying him. Right? E sadhavah samadrisho bhagavat prapannah. They are great sadhus. Samadrisha, they have this opulence of equanimity. Bhagavat prapannah, they are completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Tannopasidata, never even try to approach them. My dear Yamadutas, who is telling this to whom? Yamaraj is telling this to Yamadutas. Don't approach them. Harer gadaya bhiguptan. Hari's gada, Komodaki gada, is constantly encircling these devotees, and whoever enters, tries to enter that circle, gada will just hit them. Right? You want to be beaten by gada of Hari? No, no, no. Then don't go there. Don't try to touch devotees. Naisham vayah na prabhava. Naisham vayah nacha vayah prabhavamadande. I have no influence over them. Brahmaji has no influence over them. Even time factor has no influence over devotees. You relax. Don't try to catch devotees like this. Like that he gave a warning to Yamadutas. One who takes the holy name. Jihvana vakti bhagavat gunanama dheyam chetas chana smarati tat charanaravindam krishnayato namati yat chira ekadapi tanana vadhamasato akrita vishnu krityan. Same series. Jihva na vakti bhagavat gunanama dheyam. One who doesn't utilize his tongue to chant the holy name of Krishna. Chetaschana smarati tat charanaravindam. One who doesn't use his chetan consciousness or mind to remember Krishna's lotus feet even once. Krishnayano namati et chira ekadapi. One who doesn't offer obeisances to Krishna even once. Tanana vadhyam. Bring those fellows to me. Bring those fellows who never offered obeisances to Krishna, who never chanted Krishna's name, who never remembered Krishna. Such people are entitled to enter Yamalok. This is Yamaraj's instruction to Yamadutas. Policy. Right? You have policy in notice board, you put policies, right? In your base or voice or your Vidyapit accommodation. So like that in Yamaraj's, Yamalok, notice board is filled with this kind of verses. Notice board me like kisko lana hai, kisko leke aana hai. Don't bring these people. If you chanted even once, you should not be entering Yamaloka. If you try to bring them, then you will be hit by Kaumodaki of Vishnu. Kaumodaki bhagavato dayatam smareta digdham arati bhatashonita kardamena. So Kaumodaki gada of the Lord is constantly tainted with the blood of demons who try to trouble the devotees. Right? So you may not see the danda, you may not see the gada here and there, but you understand Lord's Kaumodaki gada is around you. If some demon is trying to catch you, that will gada will hit him. Right? That's how devotees are protected by Krishna. So that is the point. Ad bibhedi svayam bhayam. Yet bibhedi svayam bhayam is even fear personified is fearful. What is this fear personified? Now you feed some, what to say, grains to a sparrow or a crow. When you feed grains, the sparrow will come and then take a grain. Within that 1 or 2 seconds where it is taking the grain, it rotates its head 10 times like this. Why? There is fear. Even if you wave your hand like this, and which causes little amount of air that touches his body, it just flies away. There is fear. You try to approach near, fear will just run away. So, now you are walking on the road, a dog may be there. Suddenly, dog will do like this and then run away from there. So, just some kind of fear is there. Even when a child is doing like some mischief. So, animals are filled with fear, and sometimes many times human being is also filled with fear on a different plane. So you bring the amount of fear, I don't know, it's in kgs or liters or meters, we don't know, whatever may be the unit of the fear, just take the amount of fear that the dog, the sparrow, the human being, and every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation, whatever amount of fear he or she may feel, just bring it at one place. Keep it at one place. And if it takes a person form, that is fear personified. Demigods also are fearful. Demons are also fearful. Siddhas, Devas, many people are fearful. Bring all the fear at one place. That is fear personified. That fear personified is fearful of Krishna. You see? So if you are taking his holy name, which is non-different from him, where is the question of fear? Even after studying so much of Vedic literatures, even after doing so much of devotional service, still when a devotee feels fearful, then what is the use of his Vedic study? That's how there is one verse. Right? If you are still feeling fearful, we should understand we are not yet devotees or something like that. But that there is one verse like that in Bhagavatam. Fear. So fear personified is fearful of Krishna. Right, that's the point. And Krishna is fearful of his devotees. Yashoda. Gopyadade tvayi krita agasita matavad yate dashashru kalilanjana sambhramaksham vaktram niniya bhaya bhavanaya sthitasya samam vimohayati bhir apiyat bibheti. Same, bhir apiyat bibheti word comes in this verse also, that verse also. Gopyadade tvayi krita agasita matavad, you have done an offense. Krishna, Kunti is saying this to Krishna. Gopi, Yashoda, adade tvayi krita agasi. Krita agasi means you have committed an offense. What offense? First you broke the pot. Second you stole the butter. Third you distributed the butter to monkeys. Fourth, you ran away from your house and made Yashoda run behind you on the streets of Vrindavan. And you spoke so many lies. Like that Krishna committed so many offenses. Offense to holy name. Offense to Mother Yashoda. Right, we have committed so many offenses. So Gopi became very angry on you. Gopyadade tvayi kritagasi dama tavat. Because of her anger, she wants to bind you with a dama, with a rope. Then what is your condition, Krishna? Yate dashashru kalilanjana sambhramaksham. Your beautiful lotus-like eyes were so fearful. Eyes were filled with fear. Sambhramaksham. And you are also shedding tears from your eyes. Profusely tears are falling off. And whenever Krishna cries in childhood, Yashoda tries to wipe Krishna's tears with her cloth. This time Yashoda is so strict. She is not wiping the tears only. Mother Yashoda is just holding his hand, trying to, another hand, there is stick. So Krishna is trying to wipe his hand, wipe his tears like this only, with his own hands. And when he is doing that, all the ointment on his, this kajal, right? That comes on mascara, that comes on his face. Yate dashashru kalilanjana sambhramaksham. His eyes were filled with fear, terror, that Yashoda might hit me with that stick, little stick. Vaktram niniya bhayabhavanaya sthitasya. Vaktram niniya means Krishna bends his head low. Who bends his head low? A criminal in the court bends his head low in front of the judge. While all the lawyers are trying to prove that he is a criminal. Right? He did some offense. So in the court of Yashodamai, Krishna becomes criminal and he bends his head low. He waits for the judgment. What is the judgment? Just like a criminal waits for the judgment of the judge, whether I'll get 14 years of imprisonment, or 5 years of imprisonment, or 2 lakhs of fine, or what exactly is my future, he doesn't know. Similarly, Krishna doesn't know his future. Krishna doesn't wait for the judgment of anyone, but he waits for the judgment of Yashodamai. Right? Vaktram niniya, vaktram, his face niniya, he's bending his head low. Bhayabhavanaya sthitasya, with great fear in his heart, he is standing there. Samam vimohayati, seeing this scene, vimohayati, I am bewildered. How can this person, yet Bibhedi Svayam Bhayam is mentioned here. Fear personified is fearful of Krishna, and that Krishna is bending his head low and fearful of Bhayabhavanaya, fearful of Mother Yashoda. Samam vimohayati, bhirapi yad bibheti. Is this the person who can terrorize the fear personified, who can cause terror in the heart of fear personified? Is he the person? Small, he's just totally at the disposal of Yashoda. At her judgment, she can beat him, she can tie him, she can do whatever, she can starve him. Everything is in her hands. Right? Yashoda Mai ki jai. Only she can do like that. Nemam virincho anabhavana shri rapyanga samshrayat prasadam lebhire gopit yattat prapta vimuktidat. Virinchi, Brahma doesn't have this privilege, this opportunity, this kind of mercy that Yashoda got, Brahma doesn't get, Lakshmi doesn't get, Shiva doesn't get. Only Yashoda is like that. Yashoda Mata. That is about apiyat bibheti, yat bibheti swayam bhayam. Next, 15th verse. Yat pada shamshayah sutam munayah prashamanayah sadyah punantyupa srishtah swardhanyapono sevayam. Yat pada shamshayah sutam munayah prashamanayah. Pada samshraya means taking shelter of the lotus feet. So, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, sadhyah punanti upasrishtah. Sadhyah punanti means they are immediately purified. Right? Those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them. Basically, point here is the purifying potency of devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord is more than Svardhanyaponu Sevaya, than the purifying potency of Ganga. So Ganga emanates from the lotus feet of the Lord. Devotees take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So Ganga that emanates from the lotus feet of the Lord will purify you after a long time. But devotees who have taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord will purify you immediately. That's the message of this verse. So, any person, regardless of who he is, Sudra, woman, merchant, etc., they can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord and go back to Godhead. So, no one is deprived of the opportunity to practice devotional service and enter the spiritual world. So, and devotees are more dear to the Lord than anyone else. And the devotees are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. For they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls. What do the devotees do? They show the path. You go from here, a door, say, oh, Vaikuntha mil jayega. You go from this door, you go to Goloka. Right? Don't go to this, this is hell path. So like the devotees show the path back to Godhead. 16th. Kova bhagavatastasyam punya shlokedya karmanaham shuddhi kamona shrunuyad yashah kalimalapaham. Kova bhagavatastasya punya shlokedya karmanaham punya shlokedya karmanaham. Wonderful point here. Virtuous glories of the Lord. Punya shloka. Punya is virtuous. Shloka idya. Idya means worshipping. So, Krishna is glorified in choicest prayers. He is very worshipable. Bhagavan is always glorified in choicest prayers. Always ornamented with the most exquisite, beautiful ornaments and flowers. Like that. Shuddhi kamonu sruniyad yashah kalimalapaham. Shuddhi kama. Do you have shuddhi kama? Shuddhi kama means, are you desirous of purification? Are you desirous? Advai Prabhu, you are desirous of purification. Right? So, anyone who desires purification from Kalimalapaham. Kalimala. The contamination of Kali Yuga. Who is that person who desires purification from the contamination of Kali Yuga, who doesn't take interest in Krishna Katha? That means Krishna's glories, Yasha, can vanquish the contamination of Kali Yuga. If you are interested to vanquish that contamination, take shelter of Krishna's glories. Who is that person who doesn't take shelter? A question is placed here. Who is that person who desires deliverance from this Kali Yuga, doesn't take shelter of Krishna? Ko anama trupyet rasavit kathaya mahattam ekanta parayanasya hare rudaram charitam visuddham susrushatamno vitanum tibudvan. So, someone who desires purification will take shelter of Krishna. That's the message. The leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and prosperity, friendship. But they have no information of this simple method of hearing the glories of Krishna. People are desiring for purification, but they have no information how to purify themselves. They desire peace. They don't know how to be peaceful. They are searching for a wrong place. For example, you are thirsty and you want to mitigate your thirst. There is a big ocean there. So much of water. Millions and billions of liters of water are there. So will you go and quench the thirst with that water? Because that water doesn't have the ability to quench your thirst. Similarly, the soul is desiring spiritual happiness, and if you give him material happiness, he will not be satisfied, right, with that opportunity. So leaders and politicians or other people may plan so many things for the peace and prosperity and happiness and pleasure of people in general, but they don't understand what will actually please the people in general. Because they are all spirit souls. First you need to identify who they are to actually cause them some welfare. Right? If you don't know who is that person, if you don't know what is his need, what kind of welfare you can do to him? Simple, right? So people, when they are not identified as pure spirit souls, they are only identified as material bodies, people start thinking in material terms only. Oh, this will cause good to him, this will cause good to him. Some basic material comforts are needed, but that's not the ultimate benefit. What is the ultimate benefit? See, Prabhupada is saying. But by the insurmountable intricacies of the material nature of the Lord, all these plans for progress are being constantly frustrated. If we want actually peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. How much faith is needed to make this statement? Now you go to any politician. Do Krishna Katha. You will have peace and prosperity. He will say, kya ho gaya, pagal ho gaya. He will not be... People do not have the simplicity to accept this as a solution. How can reading Srimad Bhagavatam or hearing Krishna Katha be a solution to the problems of this world? It doesn't make any sense. A materialistic person. In the neophyte stage, it doesn't make sense to devotees also. But Bhagavatam's repeated message is this only. Iti nandada yogopa Krishna Rama katham muda kurvanto ramamanascha navindam bhavavedanam. This verse comes in the 10th canto, 11th chapter, somewhere in the end. Iti nandada yogopa means Gopas headed by Nanda Maharaj. What they are doing? Krishna Rama Katha Muda. With great pleasure, they are doing the Katha of Krishna and Balaram. They are discussing about Krishna. Kurvanto Ramamanasya. They were doing that with great pleasure, great relish. Because they are absorbed in the glories of Krishna, Navindam Bhavavedanam. They are not experiencing any material tribulations. Although every single day some demon is coming and disturbing the peace of Vrindavan, All the Vrajavasis are in bliss. Why? Because they are discussing about Krishna. All the gopis are thinking about Krishna when Krishna is in the forest. Yadav hane vahanane mathanopalepa prinkankhanarbha ruditokshana marjanayadav gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyoshrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. While they are milking the cows or threshing the grains or when they are sweeping the floors or taking care of crying babies or swinging on swings or doing whatever household activities they are doing, they are always remembering Krishna. Dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chittayana. Their chitta, their consciousness is hovering around the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So they are not experiencing any material tribulations. Navindam bhava vedanam. Bhava vedana, what is this? We don't understand. Why? We are observing Krishna. So, bombarding our consciousness with Krishna vibrations, bathing in the nectar of Krishna Katha is the only way you can protect yourself from the onslaughts of material nature. Otherwise, suffering guaranteed. So if you want to escape that tribulations, material tribulations, take shelter of Krishna. Right? Haricharyanu varananam. Why there is a lot of problem in this world? Because the conditioned soul is constantly trying to bring his senses in contact with the sense objects. So, matra sparshe chaya muhu. Matra sparsha ichaya. He has deep desire to bring his senses in contact with sense objects. Ichha. Strong ichha. So, etadhi atura chittanam. Because of that, he is in atura chitta. Atura chitta, you know, anxious mentality. Constantly in anxiety. So, how to come out of that anxiety? Why? You understand, how do I mitigate my material anxieties? First, understand the root cause of anxiety. What is the root cause of anxiety? Desire for sense gratification. What is the solution? Bhavasindham plavodrashto haricharya anuvarananam. Haricharya anuvarananam. Just describe the activities of Krishna. Relish them. Discuss amongst yourselves. Parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavadyashaha. Mithoratir mithastushtir. Nivrittir mitha atmanaha. Paraspara anukathanam. When you come together and then discuss about Krishna, that will purify us, that will nourish us, that will give us the ability to withstand all the tribulations of this material world. Right? So keeping Krishna's glories aside and searching for prosperity and peace and happiness and pleasure in this material world, which is like a desert, an ocean filled with salt water, you will not get. Bhagavatam gives an example. You go to salt mine and it says for sugar. Will it happen? Salt, sugar, both may appear white. Go to the salt mine and scratch anywhere, you will get only salt. Material world is like salt mine. Scratch anywhere, you will only get salt. You will not get rasamalai juice. Rasamalai juice, milk is there, na? That's very relishable, very tasty. You will not get rasamalai juice when you are scratching the salt mine. You will only get salt. Whichever angle you scratch, okay, I am not getting happiness this way, let me get happiness that way. This way, this way, this way. I will do shirshasana and then scratch. You will get salt only. Ocean, dive so deep. Go 1 kilometer deep, 10 kilometers deep, 100 kilometers deep, you will only get salty water. You will not get milk in the ocean. Like Sher Sagar, na? Arabian Ocean, Bay of Bengal, Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, you will get only salt. Right? So material world is filled with that bitterness. So Haricharya Anuvarnanam, Prabhupada with great conviction is saying, if we want actual peace, we must open the road to understanding of the Supreme Lord Krishna and glorify Him for His virtuous activities as they are depicted in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the solution. Tasya karmanyu dharani parigitani suribhim bruhina shraddha dhananam लीलया ददतः कलह
तस्य
समन कैन रीड द ट्रांसलेशन
His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sings of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performed in his virtuous incarnation.
So, Jiva Goswami explains that this particular question about avataras is about Purusha avataras. तस्य कर्माणि उदाराणि परिगीतानि सूरभिः दी लाइक जनरल एक्टिविटीज ऑफ द लॉर्ड दैट आर डिस्क्राइब्ड बाय सूरी वेरी ग्रेट लर्नेड स्कॉलर्स लाइक नारद मुनि एंड अदर्स ब्रूहि न श्रद्धानानां प्लीज स्पीक टू अस लीलया व्हिच लीला हियर सृष्टि लीला ददतः कलाः सो पुरुषावतारस वी वांट टू लर्न So Lord's Leelas are activities in relation to the material world. Okay. Which he manifests by his external energy. So Srishti Leela is also Ras Leela only. Ras Leela of Krishna is his play with internal potency. And Srishti Leela is the Lord's play with external potency. Both are Ras Leela. So Prabhupada writes, the material creations are manifested for some time as a perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom are likened to cinemas. You know cinema? You must have seen, right? Mm. Anyone who has not seen a cinema in life so far? Mm. Everyone has seen. Great. You can forget it. You don't have to repeat it. You never saw?
One.
Only one movie in whole life?
Yes.
How many, what's your age? Age? 28 years, only one movie, sir. You are so pure, Prabhu. Huh?
Pure.
Really pure. Okay, you don't have to tell which movie it is, but only one movie. Such rare souls are there. In Vidyapeeth, you can see some people like ISKCON only it happens. Where are you from?
Maharashtra.
Maharashtra. Oh, great. I'm surprised. I never met such a soul. That to Indian. So you don't have much experience. You don't understand this example. Okay. So Prabhupada says here that material creations are like cinemas. What is cinema? You have a real life. You have a reality. You have an identity. In this world, you are a man or a woman or an employee in a company or a student in a college or a father or mother of certain children or child of certain parents or whatever, resident of certain place. So you have certain reality in life. You deal with your own problems. Movie means entering a theater, switching off all the lights around you, sitting in one place. And absorbing your consciousness with what is happening on the screen, right? Generally identifying with the hero, right? If the hero is having a duet with the heroine, you start feeling that it's me. I am dancing there. If the hero is kicking the villain, you start thinking that I am the one who is punching him. If the hero is suffering and crying, sometimes you may even also have tears in your eyes. You identify with that character. For 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever may be the movie duration, you are put in an illusion to think that you are the hero. Right? It's me. When the hero is smiling, unconsciously, without any effort, you also start smiling. When the hero is crying, when the hero is passionate, trying to find out where is the villain, he kidnapped my heroine, you also feel that intensity. That's what people create, that ambience also. Physically it's all nice, fans are on, AC is on, you are not physically uncomfortable, all lights are off. Only thing is that big screen with nonsense happening for 2 full hours, right? And you identify with that nonsense, right? That is movie. Just zoom out. No, you zoomed in, right? Just zoom out. Come out of the theater. I think I am so and so person in this life, in this world. I am a person in working in so and so company. Child of so and so parents, resident of so and so place. All this you remember, right? Material world is also like that. 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, you embrace one temporary identity. All whatever designations I mentioned about you, reality in life, that is a temporary reality. You are watching movies also reality, but there is a lot of illusion there. Your identification with the hero of the movie is a illusion. Similarly, your identification with this body and all the upadhis or designations coming along with this body is an illusion. Wake up to the original reality. I am a servant of Krishna. I am a lover of Krishna. I am a resident of spiritual world. I am supposed to be engaged in so and so seva of Krishna. Jivera swarupa hai Krishnera Nityadas. So material world is like a movie. Movie means you run certain shows, close down. Next movie will come. Similarly, material creation means Mahavishnu exhales, creation is there. He inhales, no creation. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. So like the next movie will begin. Next show will begin. Show is there for 3 hours. Here show is there for whatever so and so trillion years. The 311 trillion years or whatever. So that's why Prabhupada is giving this analogy. Many people watch cinema, right? Except Rajesh Prabhu, Vijay Prabhu. Most people watch movies in this world. So Prabhupada makes that, gives that analogy so that we understand the analogy better, understand the concept better. 18th verse, 5th question. So 4th question is about Purushavataras. 5th question is about Leelavataras. Atakhya hi harer dhiman avatara kathashubha leelavidadana swairam ishvarasyatma mayaya. So read the translation.
O Bhagavata, please narrate to us the transcendental pastime of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers.
So this is about the Leelavataras of the Lord. By the internal potency He does. Earlier it is like with external potency. Next 19th verse. Vayam tuna vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame yat shrinvatam rasajnanam svadu svadu pade pade. Vayam tuna vitrupyama. My dear Suta Goswami, we are not satiated. Tripti nahi milta hai. By hearing Krishna katha, we are not satisfied. Means, by hearing Krishna katha, you are satisfied and you are not satisfied also. How is it? Who will say? We want to hear more, correct. By eating dosa, if you are a South Indian, you are satisfied in the sense that I don't want any other item. Don't bring paratha, don't bring upma. Dosa is sufficient for me. One item sufficient. But kitna dosa? Get 5, 10, 20, I can eat. So that is your love for dosa. So vayantuna vitrupyama uttama shloka vikrame yat shrinvatam rasagnanam svadu svadu padi padi. Now, when will someone say that I have had enough, sufficient, enough, bas ho gaya? When will someone say? Three conditions. Acharya's Q. Number one, if he has a sufficiency of quantity. You may like dosa, you may like paratha, you may like idli, but you have a capacity to eat. You may eat 4 dosas, 5 dosas, 10 dosas. You can't go more than that. Right? You may afford to skip your lunch and dinner also and breakfast only. You eat 10 dosas, then done for the day. Still, beyond 10 you can't go, right? So, if there is a sufficiency of quantity, you will say enough. Second, if there is a lack of awareness of taste, means you don't know the glory of dosa. When will you say that I have had enough, sufficient? When will you be satiated? Satiation happens under 3 conditions. When there is sufficiency of quantity. Second, when there is lack of awareness of taste. You are not aware. You are not touching dosa only because you never ate dosa. right? Even say not a North Indian person, you feed him idli. He's so impersonal. Okay. Right, he's used to paratha. What is this? Chini dal ya namak dal? He cannot. He doesn't. He's not aware of this taste. And give idli without chutney. My God, it's horrible experience. It's eating like raw rice only. So, if there is a lack of awareness of taste or its glories or whatever, then you don't feel like eating it. Third is, if there is a lack of relish, you started eating it. Somehow someone told you, "Arre idli bahut achha hai." You're from North India. Idli is the best food in South India. It is the most nourishing and healthy food for anyone on the planet. So like that, someone will push you to eat, inspire you to eat. You started eating it. After eating it also, still you are not relishing it. Then you say, enough. Bas. Ek idli diya na bas. I'll somehow manage to finish this. You don't have to give me any more. So, when will you say, I have had enough? When there is sufficiency in quantity, lack of awareness of taste, and lack of relish. So these sages, they didn't have sufficiency of quantity. He didn't start even Bhagavatam. Right? So they have not heard enough. So definitely they want to hear more. They are not saying enough. They are not saying like that. Second, lack of awareness of taste. No, they are aware of the taste of Krishna Katha so much. They are inspired to hear Krishna Katha. So continue. They say continue. Third, lack of relish. As they are hearing Krishna Katha, they are relishing it. So they are saying, please don't stop. Continue, continue. So sages are feeling insufficiency in quantity. So that's why they are saying, yes, Srinvatam Rasagnanam. Rasagnanam means one who is aware of the taste. Rasagnanam. We are aware of the rasa that it can give us. Svadu svadu pade pade. They are able to relish it also. Vayantana vitrupyama. We have not heard sufficiently. So they didn't hear sufficiently. They have awareness of taste and they are able to relish it. Clear? That's why they are saying, don't stop, continue. So Krishna Katha remains fresh even after repeated readings. Now you heard first chapter. You hear first chapter after 10 days, again you will relish. After 10 years, you will relish. 20 years, you will relish. Subject to some conditions. Because we are conditioned souls, right? Star, conditions apply. If you are purified enough, then we will relish. Like that. So mundane news is static, while transcendental news is dynamic. In so much as spirit is dynamic and matter is static. This matter is static. This earth, water, fire, air, ether, the combination of this earth, water, fire, air, ether, our body is static. Because of the presence of spirit soul, it is moving. Dead body cannot move. If dead body moves, you have to move from there. Right? Ghost. So dead body doesn't move, generally. Generally. So similarly, mundane news is static. There is no rasa there. But spiritual news is dynamic. It will move you. 5,000 years back this discussion happened. Still we are dwelling on the same discussion. It's fresh. Now also. After 5,000 years also we can discuss this. But newspaper. Now you read. Tomorrow. Raddi. Like that. Kritavan kila karmani.
Kritavan kila karmani.
Saharamena keshava.
Saharamena keshava.
Atimartyani
Bhagavan,
Gudha Kapata Manushaha, Kritavan Kila Karmani. So Krishna descended and performed so many activities. Saha Ramena Keshavaha, along with Balaramji. Atimartyani Bhagavan, Atimartya is a human being. Atimartya means superhuman. He has performed so many superhuman activities. Which 6 days old baby can kill a demoness which is 8 miles wide, Putana? So he's just holding Putana so much and then he is trying to kill. Just sucking his life. He did not change his form. He did not change his simplicity or innocence or form or size, which is natural for a 6 days infant baby. But he killed Putana. Which 7-year-old boy can lift a big mountain on his finger? Which 6-year-old boy can dance on a slippery stage of snake's hoods with proper rhythm? Right? Not possible. Which 1-year-old baby can go 800,000 miles high in the sky and kill a demon there and land safely on the land of Vrindavan. So all these are atimartyani, superhuman activities. Gudaha kapata manushaha. Kapata manusha means Krishna is deceiving people by presenting himself as a human being. He is not a human being. So Krishna deceives everybody. He deceives demons also, he deceives devotees also. Right? Krishna goes to Jarasandha, disguising himself as a Brahmana and deceives him to protect his devotees. Krishna tells the gopis, he only plays flute and gopis come in at Sarat Purnima time to have Rasalila with him. And Krishna says, hey, why did you come now? You should not come now like this. You should go back home. Your parents are waiting. Your husbands and your children and other family members are waiting. In the middle of the night, how can you come into the forest? No, you can't come. Like that, he says. Moral instructions he will give. He tries to deceive. Right? But actually, Krishna doesn't deceive. Whenever other people are deceived, devotees are demons, whenever they are bewildered, it is because of their own attitude. The bewilderment of the demons is because of their ignorance. The bewilderment of devotees is because of their love for Krishna. Krishna is not kapata. This is another perspective. So Krishna conceals himself sometimes like this kapata manusha just to give some instructions only. Okay. Kalimagatam agnayam kshetresmin vaishnave vayam Asina dirgha satrena kathayam sakshana harehe Kalim agatam agnaya, knowing well that Kali has come or Kali is coming. Kshetresmin vaishnave vayam asina dirgha satrena. We came here to perform some sacrifice at a long length, right? But kathyatam sakshana harehe. But our sacrifice tendency changed to hearing tendency, sravanam tendency. So we have assembled at holy place here to hear from you at great length. Right? In this way we can perform sacrifice. This is a better sacrifice. Sravana yajna. So Prabhupada writes that in Satya Yuga, people may perform meditation for thousands of years, Treta Yuga, some other thing, Dwapara Yuga and previous Yugas, because they have different lifespans, they can do different big things. You can read the information there. But in Kali Yuga, we cannot do all those things. So by the example of the sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time. Okay. So one needs to have... written from bottom, it's some 7th or 8th line. Regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time. So now we are reading certain purports and verses that are very direct. You can't go to your college preaching program and say, hey, all time waste. Reading Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Others are simply a waste of time. You need to understand the context and the situation, time, place, circumstances. In this context, in this flow, when you read this statement, it's not surprising to you. You can naturally accept it. Without creating this ambience and mood, you take the statement out of context and then put somewhere else in an audience that cannot appreciate this, then it will be a problem. Clear, right? Tvamnaha sandarshito dhatram dustaram nistitirshatam kalim sattvaharam pumsam karnadhara ivarnavam. Read the translation.
We wish that we have met your goodness by the will of Providence, just so that we can accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali.
So, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship. Karana dhara ivaranavam. Arnava is ocean. Karanadhara is captain of the boat that takes you across the ocean. So they have accepted Suta Goswami as the captain of the ship that can help them cross over this material existence. What is that ship? Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, the sound vibration. Sound vibration is the ship. Spiritual master is the captain. Material world is the ocean. You are the passenger. Sit inside, go. So, the people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. This brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. Okay. One more verse is there. Rudeha madhyam sulabham sudarlabham plavam sukalpam guru karana dharam. So human body is like a strong boat, and favorable winds are all the scriptural vibrations, and spiritual master is the captain, and with that you can cross over the material ocean. If you have access to spiritual master, if you have a bona fide spiritual master, and if you have an opportunity to study scriptures, and if you have a strong human body, we must utilize these opportunities to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, one is a killer of soul. This is Bhagavatam's version. Bhuri Yogeshware Krishne,
Bhuri Yogeshware Krishne,
Brahmanye Dharma Dharma Varmani,
Brahmanye Dharma Varmani,
Swam Kashta Madhuno Pete,
Swam Kashta Madhuno Pete,
Dharmah Kam Sharanam Gatah,
Dharmah Kam Sharanam Gatah.
Bhuri Yogeshware Krishne. So Krishna is Yogeshwara. That indicates Krishna's prowess. Brahmanye, that indicates Krishna's merciful nature. He is very merciful to the Brahmanas. Dharma Varmani, he is the protector of Dharma, he is the armor of Dharma. So that Dharma Varmani, that Brahmanya, that Yogeshwara, when he ascended to his spiritual world, Swam Kashtam Adhuno Pete Dharmam Kah Saranam Gataha. Where did Dharma, religion, take shelter? Krishna is the shelter of all religious principles. In his absence, what is the shelter of Dharma? Dharmam to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. Krishna proposes, Krishna propounds Dharma, and Krishna maintains Dharma. In his absence, where is the shelter of Dharma? That is their last question, sixth question. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srujamyaham. Whenever there is a compromise on this Dharma, Krishna descends to re-establish Dharma. So like that, they ask six questions. Essence of all scriptures. First is ultimate good for people in general. Essence of all scriptures. Purpose of Krishna's appearance. Purushavataras. Lilavataras. And shelter of Dharma in Krishna's absence. After Krishna's appearance. Thank you all very much. Granthraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Break fast.